Hey, fellow boundary breakers. If your current delegation systems are not working to get you out of the day-to-day in your business, there is an exercise on our website that is the first step to get you out of the delegation catch-22. I'm going to throw the link in the show notes for you to go ahead and download. Another concept of customer need is basically what motivates your customer to buy. One of the things I want to ask you about customer need is, do you really understand your customer? Do you really know what they need? Do you understand what motivates them? Because a lot of times I find that the women that I work with don't have a great grasp on this. Customer need in most cases goes beyond our surface level of understanding. And the best way for me to explain this to you is to share an example. If I sell shoes, a lot of the clients I work with would tell me, well, my customer needs shoes. Yes, this is true. But we have to go beyond that surface level of understanding of the customer need to understand what motivates them to buy shoes. Welcome to another episode of Female Founders Breaking Boundaries. I'm your host, Casey Gromer. I am the founder of She Suite Boutique. With over 20 years of marketing and business management experience, I work with small businesses and female founders using our signature business blueprint. On the show, you get tools, advice, resources, support, and encouragement that resonates with the modern businesswoman. So, fellow boundary breakers, let's dive in. Hello and welcome, fellow boundary breakers. You are listening to Female Founders Breaking Boundaries. This is the podcast that challenges you to forget stale, outdated, and inflexible business strategies and embrace a new way of achieving success that leaves room for your life in the process. This is episode 12 of Female Founders Breaking Boundaries. And if you've been listening for a while, you might have noticed that I started this podcast with a series, and the series covers all of the content that's in our business blueprint. The business blueprint is one of the foundational pieces for anyone who is conducting business. So whether you're a startup or a seasoned business, it's a primary and it's a necessary tool for building, growing, and running your business. If you are new here, hi, welcome and glad to have you. You might consider going back and grabbing some of those older episodes and listening along as we walk you through each component of the business blueprint. If you are wanting to tackle this business blueprint, this is one of the areas that we excel at, is really digging deep with business owners, with women in business specifically. We don't work with men. I don't know if I mentioned that before, but we only work with women in business. And this is one of the areas where we are really, really good at pulling out all of these meaningful pieces of your business to have a cohesive strategy that not only makes sense, but is really inspirational and motivational for you, for your team, and it inspires your goals and your strategic plans. So if you would like some support on creating your business blueprint, there's three ways we can do that. The first is this free content we're putting out, which is the podcast. If you go back and listen to the first 12 episodes, we are covering all of the different components of the business blueprint, and you can create one that way. We have a self-service method for creating the business blueprint where you can go to our website, to the Work With Me or the Services, I think the Services tab. And there's ways for you to download these templates for the business blueprint, and we will guide you through doing it on your own. The third way we can support you with creating your own business blueprint is through either advisory calls, where we break it into a specific and focused session for 60 minutes, or you can schedule your business blueprint VIP day, where we will hang out for a couple of hours and we will burn through your entire business blueprint so that you leave the session with a documented business blueprint that you probably didn't even know was inside of you. So this is the last episode in this series, and we will be moving on to talk about something else next week. I don't know what that is again, because I have so many ideas. I'm going to have to go pick one. Do you have other ideas for the podcast, or do you have questions you want answered or topics you want covered? I am working on getting a form out on the website so you can easily make those suggestions to me either on the website or on one of my social media channels. But for now, go ahead and message me on Instagram, Casey_Gromer, or on LinkedIn. If you have a question, I can answer it on the podcast for you, or we might even do an entire episode. So would love to hear audience feedback. Let me know what you want to hear more of. In this episode, We're going to be dispelling. That's way more creative than covering. We're going to be dispelling the myth that if you are not making sales, it must be your marketing. If you are new here, the typical format for this podcast is we start out on a positive note by lifting up another female founder, because God knows the world needs more of that support these days. We are going to then tackle this topic of interest to you as a business owner, and then we are going to close with some really deep thoughts from yours truly. But before we get into today's content, we are going to lift up another female founder. And I really have to give a big shout out to YouTube today, because today's female founder is French. And I don't speak French, and I don't even pronounce French. So today we are lifting up Laurence Descartes. I would try to say that again with an even better accent, but I think that was pretty good. So Laurence Descartes, she is the first female president to be taking over the Louvre. If you have suggestions on a better way to pronounce that, you let me know. But I even listened to the recordings on YouTube about how to pronounce that, and I just don't have the brrr. I don't have that. So anyway, the Louvre, which we all probably know is like the capital of art in France. And it has been around for 228 years. And so congratulations to Laurence. She is the first female president in 228 years. And this is an interesting story because she beat out the standing president, Jean-Luc Martinez. She beat out the standing president, and I do not follow the Louvre. I don't follow, but I know that he has been around for a really long time. So this is kind of a big deal. And not only is it a big deal that she's the first female president, but she's coming in to this situation under extreme circumstances. So she is taking over and trying to figure out what to do with all this damage that's been caused by the pandemic and the fact that tourism and mass tourism, which makes up most of the sales, is not happening right now. And there's a little bit of some conflict out there, or some debates around art and the restitution of art. And we have this cancel culture going on where some folks are out there saying that we have to get rid of pieces of our history because it's a part of history that we don't want to celebrate. And so she has got a really tough job. So if we could all just, you know, close our eyes and send up some silent karma to Laurence and wish her well in her new position. I know she's going to do us proud as women in leadership. And this just goes to show that this idea of female leaders breaking boundaries, it transcends the borders. It's not just something that's happening in the United States. We need this to be kind of a worldwide effort. It is time to get to our content today. If you are struggling with sales, it is so typical to immediately point the finger at marketing because that's the easy out. Marketing is the easy scapegoat for struggling sales. But today, we are going to uncover another culprit to underperforming revenues. And you're going to need to fix this first if you want your marketing to work. The culprit that I'm talking about is called customer need. What is customer need? feels like such a basic concept, but some of what we're going to talk about today might surprise you. Customer need is pretty much the reason that we started whatever business that we're in to begin with. We saw a need. We experienced a pain point, whether it was ours or someone else's, and we solved it. So customer need is that pain point that when it's resolved, it's going to improve the customer's life in some way. I am not a psychology expert, but I did study a lot of marketing. And in order to be good in marketing, you have to understand psychology. So there are multiple levels of customer need, and one of the oldest psychology frameworks or whatever you want to call it that's been around since the beginning of time in business is this Maslow's hierarchy. It was coined by a man by the name of Abraham Maslow. And this hierarchy basically says there are different types of needs. And we have to understand what these different types of needs are so we can relate to our customer. We have at the very base of this Maslow's hierarchy, it's a pyramid. At the very base of this pyramid, we have basic needs. And basic needs are just what it sounds like. Basic needs to stay alive. So we have food, water, shelter, safety, all of those physiological needs that are just required for us to keep on living the life day to day. And then as we move up the hierarchy and up the pyramid, we have these psychological needs, which are more along the lines of emotional needs. So like belonging, love, self-esteem, accomplishment, those are psychological needs. And at the top, the very top of the pyramid is self-fulfillment, or some people call it self-actualization. And this is the ultimate of human needs. This is like the thing that everybody strives for and in many cases never actually achieves. So self-fulfillment or self-actualization is actually achieving your full potential as a human being. And I don't think we ever actually get there because our full potential will keep changing. It's a moving target. Another concept of customer need is basically what motivates your customer to buy. One of the things I want to ask you about customer need is, do you really understand your customer? Do you really know what they need? Do you understand what motivates them? Because a lot of times I find that the women that I work with don't have a great grasp on this. Customer need in most cases goes beyond our surface level of understanding. And the best way for me to explain this to you is to share an example. If I sell shoes, we have a lot of the clients I work with would tell me, well, my customer needs shoes. Yes, this is true. But we have to go beyond that surface level of understanding of the customer need to understand what motivates them to buy shoes. Is it because our customer has this basic need for shoes? I need to walk outside and it's 30 degrees and my feet will freeze if I don't wear something on my feet. Or I have to walk 5 miles to get to work today. And if I'm not wearing shoes, my feet will be cut up and bloody and whatever. So we're talking about safety here. This is a need that shoes fulfill. That's a basic need. Now, psychologically, so I have shoes, right? I have tennis shoes, but I also have heels and I have sandals and I have flip-flops and I have mules and Crocs, and I don't have Crocs. I lied. I'm sorry. I don't have Crocs. I probably will never have Crocs. They are so uncomfortable on my feet. But the psychological need that shoes might fulfill is a status symbol. If I buy a certain brand of shoes or a certain style of shoes, it helps me fit in. It helps people like me because I look more like them. If everybody else has this same kind of shoes, I need to have a pair of shoes like that too. Or if I have the same type of shoes, I am seen as an elite athlete, or I'm seen as a fashionista. So there's psychological needs that shoes fulfill. And as part of self-fulfillment, are we using shoes to make a statement about who we are as a person? Are we wearing a pair of shoes that is unique or different from anyone else's shoes? Maybe our shoes have wings on them because we are all about being angel. I'm totally making stuff up here. that's how this hierarchy of needs works, is at what level of need are we satisfying this customer or motivating them to buy? Most business owners don't understand what motivates their customers. So when we don't understand that, our product, our messaging, and our brand are not able to connect with the buyer. We're not hitting them where we need to hit them. So what are some ways that we might be able to uncover this customer need or this motivation? And there's a few tools that we have in our back pocket. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, we're going to be referring back to some of the other tools that we've talked about in past episodes. The brand story is one of the first places I look to uncover a customer need. The brand story paints the picture of the pain point that this customer has, and then how their life was changed or improved after they implemented the solution that you offer. So you can look for hints in your brand story of what that pain point is and what might be motivating that customer to buy. Another place you can look for customer need is in the buyer persona. Now, we have mentioned buyer persona in a past episode on target market, but we have not talked about the buyer persona in depth yet. What the buyer persona does is helps you to put yourself in the shoes of your most ideal buyer. So if you put yourself in your buyer's shoes, and I'm just now realizing that I used shoes as an example previously, and now we're talking about buyer's shoes, so there was no pun intended here. If you put yourself in your buyer's shoes, you are thinking like they think, and you can ask yourself as your buyer, what's important to me? What's important to the buyer? What is important to them? How do they think? How do they feel? How do they reason? Who do they rely on to make decisions? And we're going to have more about this in a future episode, but as you're going through this process of creating the buyer persona, you're definitely going to uncover some underlying values and beliefs that are going to impact what motivates them and impact the customer need. Here are some other places that you can look to uncover your buyer motivation or your customer need, and you can look right into your customer service team. We are not monitoring every single comment every single day, I'm pretty sure, but you can ask your customer service team if there are patterns of positive or negative feedback or comments that they are getting from customers. And you can decide if any of this feedback is leading to a missed need. You can look at your customer reviews. What common themes are you seeing in those reviews? What are customers loving about your product or service? Or where are you missing the mark? You can also uncover customer need by listening. And you can listen to your customers not only through customer service and reviews, but also listen to what they are saying on places like social media or at events you're attending. You have to really be open to not only listening, but hearing what they're saying and catching that and incorporating it into your business strategy. So now that we know how to really think differently about customer need and uncover that buyer motivation, what's next? Once you uncover that true need, I encourage you to take a hard look at your business strategy. Does your product or your service that you are delivering align with that customer need? And this can be a scary thing to look at, because what if it doesn't? If it doesn't align, that's hard. That is hard to swallow, and it might be hard to fix. Here's an example of a time when I was working with a woman who found this in her business by going through the business blueprint. This was a technology product, and she was trying to solve a technology problem. As we went through the business blueprint, and we did a look into the competitive analysis, we did a look into the buyer persona, and looked at her brand story. And what we uncovered, that the customer need was not necessarily a lack of a technology. In fact, it was quite the opposite. The need was to own the connection or the relationship with the consumer. So while this business owner was out peddling a technology or peddling a product, her message was falling on deafness because these business owners don't want more technology. It's complicated and it's time consuming to implement technology. But if she had gone out to them talking about moving their relationship or moving their customer connection to something where they were in more control of it, she probably would have heard a lot more positive feedback about that message. So her sales and marketing was focused on the wrong things. This was confusing and it was also irrelevant to the end user. So we're not changing her product. We're not changing what she sells, but we're changing the messaging to shift the focus to the end result and to how the product is implemented to help the customer achieve the goal. And that is what the need is. That is what's going to motivate people to buy, is showing them how there's going to shift their business into a new realm. So to summarize, we are oftentimes pointing a finger using marketing as a scapegoat when our sales are suffering, when in fact, there might be some other fundamental thing that we need to consider. Are we missing the mark on customer need? I challenge you to be brave and look at that in your own business strategy. I also want to encourage you to pay attention to what your customers are saying. Hear them, listen to them, and then align your marketing and align your message with this need that you solve. This wraps up our series on the components of the business blueprint. For more support, you can book an advisory call, which is a quick 60-minute session where we get a lot of crap done. You can also book a VIP session with us, which we dive really deep into your business blueprint and you come away with a lot of insight into your business you might not have had before. And you may also choose to work on your business blueprint through one of our self-service options that's going to be out on the website under our services tab. It is time for my favorite part of the podcast. That's a lie. All the parts of the podcast are my favorite parts of the podcast, but it's time for deep thoughts. I am deep thinking today about a story that came out recently. I can't even remember where it was published, but I saw this story about Nestle. And Nestle was kind of ousted. Actually, Nestle, I think they did some research internally and then it somehow got leaked to outside the company. But they were ousted for the fact that their food products, I'm using air quotes here, they do not meet the quote, recognized definition of health. Wow, I am surprised. And hopefully you can sense the sarcasm there. I am not surprised. However, now we have the proof. The proof is in the pudding, or the pudding's in the proof. I don't know how that saying goes, but 70% of Nestle's products do not meet that definition. And as a mom, this is really important to me as a mom and a business owner, because you are busy. I am busy. I have kids running around everywhere. I have multiple conflicting priorities. One of those priorities is nourishment and staying healthy. But I don't have time to sit around and slave over a stove and create complicated meal plans and grocery shopping and all of that stuff. So there are many days that I rely on a quick, convenient option to feed my kids and to feed myself. And I'm imagining that there are occasions when you do this as well. Going to the grocery store or looking out in my community for these quick, convenient options, it is so frustrating because it is hard to find healthy options that are also quick and convenient. Now, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it is hard. And when we eat crap and we eat this, you know, 70% of these products that do not meet recognized definition of health, when we eat those things, we feel like crap and it affects our mood. It affects our health. It affects how we treat our families and our kids and our loved ones. And if that's happening to us, it's also happening to our kids. And I know this is such a tough conversation for moms where you have to choose. You have to choose between spending the time and the energy for health, you know, maximum health, but then you have to give up something else. And so it's this constant battle and it feels like there's never any balance. So personally, I am super thrilled that Nestle has announced that they are going to be rethinking their nutrition and their formulas, and they are going to be moving more and more of their products into this definition of health. Now, they did say, and I sort of tend to agree with them here, there are probably about 30% of their products that they are not going to touch because there is this market for confection, which is kind of a, we might consider that self-care. And I'm assuming it's part of their like chocolate or their treats. But the rest of their stuff, they're going to be trying to improve that nutritional value. And let's be honest, I do not expect Nestle to become the epitome of health food, but I am a huge advocate for cleaning up our food and beverage market. When we know better, we do better. And we definitely know better than to put out food with a bunch of fake sugar and fake ingredients. And I'm not saying we should never do it, but people need better and we want better. So in case this is a topic that's interesting to you, cleaning up the food and beverage market, I want to invite you to check out a friend of mine. Her name is Katie Mleseva, and her podcast is Real Food Brands. And that is exactly what she's doing, is cleaning up shopping carts across America. Not only is it a great topic on her podcast, but if you're following her Real Food Brands on Instagram, you also get introduced to some really cool and tasty new food products that you might be convinced to try, as I have. So wrapping up today, I invite you to join me on LinkedIn. You can reach out and request a connection. Include a quick note that you are following up on the podcast, so I know you're a real human and not a spammer. You can follow me on Instagram, which is kind of where Instagram is my meme land. And so you're not going to see a whole lot of business content on Instagram, but if you like inappropriate memes, let's share those on that channel. And I'm also going to encourage you to get out there and break some boundaries. Honey, what is it that you wanted to tell our listeners today?
Get out there and break some boundaries and do it for me and my generation.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Female Founders Breaking Boundaries. If you enjoyed this episode, would you be willing to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're tuning in? You can connect with me on LinkedIn using the link in the show notes. And until next week, don't be afraid to get out there and break some boundaries.